are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I woke up this morning listening to some talk shows, and the focus of most of the talk shows was on Baltimore. And if you've been following the news coverage on television, I don't have a television at home, so I don't really watch it at home. But I have done a lot of research in preparing actually two shows on it. But I was a little bit surprised. The focus is on Baltimore, except for the one person that died in police custody. How many people have died in Baltimore? To my knowledge, it's none, as a direct result of the confrontation between what I call thugs. Some will call them teenagers. The age is not important. It's the acts that they're doing, namely rioting, looting, and burning out businesses. But the focus in the news today in the United States for the last couple of days is all about Baltimore. And that's true of talk radio as well. That surprises me, because I've also been following another story that is developing. It's still going on. It's not in the United States. You would think, listening to talk radio and some of the leaders in talk radio, that one of the lead stories today is the Baltimore Orioles played a baseball game and there were no fans. Now, I will concede that's a story. It should be covered on the sports pages. And it's unique in baseball history. When I was a boy, I used to be a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. But when they moved to Los Angeles, I gave up on the Brooklyn Dodgers. And the same thing happened to me when I was in Berkeley following the Oakland Raider fan. I was an Oakland Raider fan. And the Oakland Raiders moved to Los Angeles. At that point, I stopped being a professional sports fan, whether it's baseball, football, basketball. It's a business. And businesses have to make decisions. And apparently the owners of the Baltimore Orioles, as well as the stadium, decided that they'll play the game without fans. I think if I were a season ticket holder, I would not be happy that I could not get into the stadium. But that is one of the lead stories today, as well as being talked about on talk radio. I think it was a mistake for the owners to make that decision, but it's their business. And given what happened outside of the stadium, where over 20 businesses were destroyed, burned, looted by human beings, mostly black gang members. And I'm not buying it that they're all from the outside. No, they're not. They're from that neighborhood. And they're attacking and destroying their own community. But that's not new. The blacks in the community know that the victims of black crime are primarily black, over 90%. It's nothing new to the black community in Baltimore. And that's why they rely on the police to defend their property and their lives. And where the police are not doing their job because they've been ordered to stand down and give a space to destroy, it's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight. But that said, with businesses destroyed, buildings burned, and it's not just businesses. It's also community centers, housing for older people. And they destroyed a lot of property, largely cars, mainly the police, but also individuals' cars. And I'm still upset about it because the reaction is one of appeasement. And unfortunately, that is the mindset of the so-called liberal progressive left in this country. Now, I'm all for protesting, exercising your freedom of speech, but there's a sharp line between marching in an orderly fashion and throwing rocks that have injured upwards of 24 police officers and the mass destruction of property. I'm surprised there hasn't been one or more deaths. I truly am surprised. People have been attacked on the street, knocked down, beaten, phones, other individual property stolen from them. And I'm wondering, where's the leadership? Where is the leadership? But let's get a little perspective. What is the international story that's still breaking and the death toll is mounting? Last Saturday, about noon in Nepal, there was an earthquake. A severe earthquake. On the Richter scale, it was 7.8. Goes up to 9. That is a very devastating earthquake. Initially, the death toll were 1 or 2,000. We now have confirmed dead of 5,000. And the prime minister of that country is predicting that it could easily reach 10,000 for the simple reason it's very difficult because it's a highly mountainous area with few roads. It's difficult to get into rural villages. So we don't really know exactly how many people have died. Now, there's something you need to understand. When you have an earthquake, and I've lived abroad where there were earthquakes, for example, in Taiwan. So I'm not a stranger to earthquakes. You have very few of them in Texas. And I was going to say, I've been in Texas for over 35 years. I've never felt an earthquake. That's not quite true. A couple of weeks ago, I felt two earthquakes in Dallas, Texas. Now, those are largely suspected to be as a result of either fracking, which I am suspicious of, or the fact that the stadium, former Texas Stadium, collapsed, and one of the areas they suspect that the epicenter is there. That's another issue. But most Americans, with the exception of those that live on the West Coast, seldom, if ever, experience earthquakes. They can be quite frightening for the simple reason, if you're in bed, the bed will shake and your building is shaking. Usually, if you have bookshelves, the books are falling off the bookshelves. Your furniture is moving, and that's a pretty severe earthquake, and you do get a few of that magnitude along the West Coast, Pacific Coast of the United States. And the reason is simple. You have, in that region, two things are going on. Earthquakes are normally found where you have two converging plates, tectonic plates. Now, what you need to understand, there's still remnants of two plates, smaller plates, one in the Northwest, one in the Latin American area, that are still converging on North America. North America has been moving slowly but surely west, and it's colliding with, at one time, which was a very large plate, now it's really the remnants. And most of that plate is in the Northwest, Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. But you also have a different type of plate, a transform plate, that also causes earthquakes. So that's why you have a lot of earthquakes, relatively more earthquakes there than anywhere else in the United States. It's not that you can't get earthquakes in other places, but they're predominantly where you have either converging plates, and these are massive areas, and where one is subducting under the continental plate that's moving west, or along what's called transform faults. This is the San Andreas Fault. Now, India and the Himalayas is a slightly different case. You do have converging plates, and they really collided with each another about 40 million years ago, but the plates are still moving. India, at one time, was part of Antarctica. And when the supercontinent, at one time, about 250 to 300 million years ago, you had a supercontinent. All the major land masses were one landmass. But that started to break up about 180 million years ago. And what happened over from that point until today, various parts of Africa, Antarctica, South America, Eurasia have been moving. And what happened is about 40 million years ago, India, that was part of Antarctica, when the supercontinent broke up, it started to drift north, northeast, to it ultimately collided with the Asian or the Euro-Asian plate. And as a result of that, you have mountains, including Mount Everest. Now, I've given you that background because you need to understand ultimately what's causing these earthquakes, and they will continue, because the plates are still moving. And one of the results is mountains. Now, over time, those mountains tend to be weathered and eroded, but when two large continental plates collide, you're going to get large mountain ranges, and that's what you have. And they're subject to earthquakes. And last Saturday, we had a large earthquake that destroyed a lot of buildings and has killed a lot of people. So let's put Baltimore in perspective. Yes, some businesses were destroyed by human beings. Mother Nature really didn't have much a role in what's happening in Baltimore. And most of these were blacks without fathers. No one wants to talk about black-on-black crime and the fact that it's disproportionate. In other words, category by category by category, where blacks are about 12-13% of the population, the crime statistics are three, some cases four times that percentage. And the primary victims are those in the black community. In other words, it's black-on-black crime. And it's been going on for decades. It's not a new phenomenon. And what has dramatically changed in the last 50 years is the growth of government and the growth in the welfare state and the growth in spending for education. Yet what has happened? And it's not unique to blacks. The same thing has happened to whites on a lesser scale, as well in other welfare states. We have families with only one parent, and it's usually the mother. In other words, there's no father. There's no role model. There's no one to discipline the child. There's no one other than the mother. The father's absent, though. And these children need to understand what's right and wrong. And it's clear that they don't understand that. Something is fundamentally wrong here. Education spending has gone up. More money is going to welfare programs than ever before. Yet the poverty rates are about where they were when all this started. Yet we have presidential candidates that are calling for more. That's the only thing they can say. Well, we need more money for education, more for welfare. That'll solve the problem. It hasn't solved the problem, because what is happening is the government is replacing, and it's really attacking the family, and it's encouraging one-parent families. And that's why the illegitimacy rate is over 70%, and in some cities, approaching 100%. And as a result, you get mobs out of control, looting, burning, destroying property, destroying police cars, attacking police with bricks. Compare that with what happened last Saturday in Kathmandu and in Nepal and the mountain ranges in that area. Mother Nature, there were no rioters, and there were no rioting, no looting that I'm aware of. But because of the earthquake, buildings fell. People were buried in buildings. And we've had, up to now, reported about over 5,000 confirmed deaths. Yet there's very little news. You see, in the United States, news is centered, and this is true for any country. Your news report is primarily local or national, but it's seldom international. And what surprises me is the scarcity of coverage. Now, I know it's difficult to get there, but there have been very, very, very few news reports. Very few. And what's sad about this, people, if you're buried or injured, you need treatment as soon as possible. First, if you're going to survive, you need oxygen, but you have about 3 to 4 days. What kills people, besides the direct injuries, is the fact that they can't get water. You need water. After oxygen, water is critical. Your body will become dehydrated and you will die. And the time clock is clicking. But I see no really concerted effort on the part of the United States, as well as other governments, to make a effort to try to help these people. Yes, there have been, and I've seen them, if you want to donate money. The United States has resources. We're one of the most prosperous nations in the world, and we're a very generous nation. We need to be mobilizing resources. We should have been doing it all along. And one of the difficulties is just getting water, food to these areas, because they're quite remote. A lot of this has to be flown in by either transport planes or helicopters. And I would have hoped that the world, led by the United States, would have made a massive effort to help these people. But we've been distracted by Baltimore, by the baseball game with no fans, and by a political campaign of Hillary Clinton. This disaster cries out for help, and I hope in the coming weeks, although it'll be too late for many people, that we can help the people in this nation. There are literally thousands fleeing the country and fleeing Kathmandu because there have been repeated aftershocks. And people are afraid that these buildings will fall down, and that's a totally legitimate fear. Now, fortunately, this is in the spring. It could be a lot worse if this was in the middle of winter. Right now, the priority is on rescuing those that are buried under tons of debris. And if any country can provide a lot of resources, as well as medical doctors, nurses, people knowledgeable of how to dig out people from such a disaster, it is the United States, and it is the countries of Western Europe. Some of the attention has been directed to the fact that there have been a number of climbers killed at Mount Everest. The climbers are no longer at Mount Everest. They have been told to leave, and they're leaving. But they were shaken up, too, because there were avalanches on Mount Everest, and at least 18 people at last count were killed in those avalanches, including several Americans, one being a Google executive. Now, that's getting some attention, and I'm glad it's getting attention. But where is the perspective here? Where is the urgency? Right now, the focus is still on Baltimore. Hopefully, that city is now under control. It's time to focus on a much bigger problem, and that is the fact that at least twice as many people that died on September 11th are either dead or dying right now in Nepal and Nepal and the surrounding areas. Remember, this affects India, northern India, as well as China. And I have maps. And the way you listen to the Pronk Pop show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And below my picture, you'll have links to my most 60 to 80 shows. But under that, you'll have some of my show prep, including maps of the areas, because most of you probably, like me, aren't familiar with exactly where Nepal and Kathmandu are relative to India and China and relative to Mount Everest, the Himalayas. And I also have a lot of pictures of the destruction. Many ancient temples were destroyed. Many buildings were destroyed and collapsed. And you see people trying to dig people out with crowbars, their own hands, and they know they have a limited amount of time. And yes, there have been some successes. A baby, roughly a day ago, was rescued unharmed, unscratched, but there have been other people that were found with injuries, still breathing. But the problem is getting medical help to them, because when you have this kind of destruction, one reaction is to simply flee. And many people are doing that. They're fleeing the area. They recognize that those buildings could collapse at any time, and you've had a series of aftershocks. But what needs to be done in the United States is we need to take the lead. And it's not just the government. It's churches, relief organizations, as well as medical and rescue-type personnel. We need to make a concerted effort to help these people. They're poor. Unless someone from the outside helps them, the death count might very well reach over 10,000. We need an urgent effort. There's no time to delay. And what's surprising me is the lack of news coverage. I would have thought there'd been a lot of stories. They're not. Now, I understand why. The places I'm talking about are remote and are in mountainous areas. They're not easy to get to, even in the best of times. But that's just another reason why we need to get as close as we can, as fast as we can, and then target those areas that need our help the most. This is something that I think most Americans can get behind, and I'm urging you to do that. I don't know what your specialty is, what your skills are, what your resources are, but get behind an effort to rescue as many as we can. That's what we're talking about, rescuing people from a natural disaster caused by nature, not caused by man, caused by nature. It's serious. Remember 9-1-1, the world, many, many countries focused on the United States. And that was wasn't a natural disaster. It was terrorists killing thousands of people, innocent people. It wasn't an earthquake. It wasn't a landslide. This is a disaster. And I think the whole world is looking for leadership, promising to send X million of resources is nice, but they need those resources now. We can't stand by. We need to show the world we're still a leader. We have the resources. We have people, doctors, nurses, people that have been involved in similar rescues across the world, dogs to find where people might be buried. They need to be mobilized. It's going to take days to do that, but it needs to be done now. And if we do, our thanks will be the lives that we save. You see, one of the reasons this has gotten some coverage, every year you have Americans going over to Nepal in the area around Mount Everest to climb Mount Everest. It's dangerous. People get killed all the time. Weather can come in and they could freeze. You can have avalanches and then you have people falling. It's dangerous. But it's the popular thing to do, the exciting thing to do, and to say, I have climbed Mount Everest. And it is an achievement. But I think a much bigger achievement would be that the individuals, the American citizens, extend a helping hand to those that truly need our help and would appreciate our help in a time where their whole nation is being impacted. So count your blessings. Do what you can. I'm trying to focus your attention on this disaster. And hopefully in the next week, we'll learn a little bit more about, one, what happened and what urgently needs to be done. The priorities right now are medical care for those that have been injured, but also food and water to the people that are stranded in these regions. Because one of the problems is just getting to them. Roads are now destroyed. And it's dangerous on the roads. Because you can have landslides and other aftershocks. And many of the buildings in this location are destroyed. So let's help the people of Nepal by showing that the United States is coming. We're on our way with help. With that, let me play my favorite song. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.